Well, last time I was here, I brought some meatloaf, and this time I didn't bring any visual aids, and I just wanted to talk with you because it is the time we're closing a year, we're starting another year, we get a little bit contemplative. You know, we think, what's coming, what's going to be new in my life this year? When you get to be a certain age, you start thinking, what new medications am I going to be taking this year? What used to work in 2018 that's going to quit working on my body in 2019? What didn't hurt that's going to start hurting in 2019? And that's, you know, you get to that point. But we're all grateful, aren't we, that we made it through. I've had heart issues myself. So you're on 11 or 12 medications now for the rest of your life. Pills morning, pills evening. It's just going to be that way. Beats the alternative, though. So glad for that. So I wanted to take a minute as we're looking back and we're looking forward to talk about purpose. Because we sometimes question, did I fulfill God's purpose for my life in 2018? And what is God's purpose for my life in 2019? And those are appropriate questions. And so I wanted to bring us back to Genesis because it's a book of beginnings. The first part of Genesis describes the beginning of everything, all the peoples, nations, the earth, the universe. And the second part is the beginnings of the Jewish race. And so they set the stage for this marvelous thing we call history. This love story, the love story of God and his people. And it's still beating in God's heart today. Genesis 1 starts out, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how God introduces himself to us. It's God's intention to direct our attention to himself. The account of creation is brief and really was never intended to tell us all the specifics of how the universe was created. It's really to point out God as our creator. In verses 1 and 2, God tells us that he everything that was created, he did. And we learn that God did this for his glory. That's the purpose of all of this, God's glory. Let's look at some of those verses. Isaiah 42:8 says, I'm the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Isaiah 60:21. Also, your people shall be all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. God's purpose is his glory. John 13 says this. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And throughout, over and over, through the rest of the Bible, we learn that God's intention with all of this was to bring glory to himself, to display his glory. Did you know that all three persons of the Trinity were involved in creation? God the Father, 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom all things are of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. The Father was involved in creation. The Son was involved in creation. John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. And Colossians reaffirms this. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And God the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the space of the waters. And Job says, by his Spirit he adorned the heavens. And so God, all parts of the Trinity, were involved in creation. Here's the point that I want to make. Our relationship with God, our knowledge of God, the Word of God, all begins with this idea that God's our creator. In fact, this is so important that not much else in the Bible makes sense if you don't get here. If you don't see God as your creator, not very many of the interactions in the Bible, not very many of the commands make very much sense. If God is our creator, he knows what's best for us. He knows how we move, how we interact, what we should do as our creator. He knows how we work. He knows us inside and out. If God is not our creator, he has no right to make demands upon our life and on our behavior. You realize that? If God was not our creator, he would have no right to say, do this and don't do that. Well, who are you to tell me that? You're not my creator. And so even that, his authority in our life depends upon him being our creator. If he's not our creator and we're not created in his image, we could never understand each other. We could never understand God's hopes, God's dreams, God's thoughts, God's emotions. Did you know God has emotions? God has plans. God has purposes. God has a design. We could never understand that if we weren't created in his image. This relationship that we can have is because he's our creator. If he's not our creator, he wouldn't feel the same type of immovable love for us as his precious creation. Is that not true, moms? You love your kids. I mean, there's a lot of kids on the playground and you love them all, but you can hear your kids cry above everybody else's cry. When your kid's in trouble, you can hear that cry apart from everybody else. That's our Father, because he created us. If God were not our creator, he could never become our Father, because an intrinsic part of fatherhood is the creation of a child. So what's the purpose that we're created for? And that's a good question to draw from Genesis 1. As I mentioned earlier, we look back and we say, what has transpired in 2018? Did I accomplish what my purpose is? And we're looking forward to 2019, and we say, what is my purpose for 2019? Why has God left me here? What is it? And you know, when we start talking about purpose, usually we start talking about actions, deeds. What is it I can accomplish? I want us to look at purpose a little differently this morning. Sometimes we get discouraged and we think, I don't even know what my purpose is, and I'm not sure I'm ever going to find out. I really don't know why I'm here. I don't know what it is God wants me to do or be, and I'm afraid I never will. And that's a scary place to be, but it's a real place. Well, God's created us in his image. What's his purpose for us? There's a lot of things, but the best statement I've ever heard is from something called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It's boring already, isn't it? The Westminster Shorter Catechism is this: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Let me read that again. You thought it was going to be longer, didn't you? I told you, it's a shorter catechism. Man's chief end, mankind's chief end. Why is mankind here? What's our purpose? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It can't be said much better than that. John Piper says it a little bit better, I think. He says man's chief end is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. And that might be a little bit better. But that's what we were created for, is to know his presence every day in whatever comes into our life. We could not have guessed what was going to come into our life in 2018, could we? We could not guess what went out of our life in 2018. We can't guess what's going to come into our life in 2019. But God's purpose, our purpose, is to glorify him by knowing him and experiencing him in whatever he brings our way. Someone told me a long time ago, nothing enters our life without passing through God's hands first. Nothing that's going to come into your life in 2019 is going to come into your life without passing through God's hands first. And if we recognize that, we'll have a different kind of year than if we don't recognize that. Does that seem odd to you that our purpose is just to know God? That's the number one purpose, to know him and enjoy him. Does that seem odd? There was a time in my life when I thought the idea of knowing God seemed kind of uninteresting. The idea of my purpose being just to know God seemed too small somehow. The idea of knowing God seemed kind of like off to the side of real life. I felt like I was going to have to miss out on life's greatest and grandest adventures if I focused on this thing that I perceived as small, knowing God. I've been in church my whole life. I know him. I haven't heard any sermons where I'd learned anything new in years. So I already know God. I got that part nailed down. I don't want to miss on these grand adventures on this side of life. And that's what I thought. If it seems odd to you, if it seems small, if it seems boring, this idea of my purpose knowing God, let me read something C.S. Lewis said. We're like half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea, we're far too easily pleased. What C.S. Lewis is saying is, we try to find pleasure in this life and try to find purpose by achievement, our job, accomplishing more, money, having more money, having more power, relationships. We try and find fulfillment in relationships. We try and find fulfillment in all these things, thinking that they will bring us happiness and joy. But the ultimate happiness and joy is only found in our Creator, because that's why we were created, is to know him. And knowing God enhances all these other pleasures. You'll find greater fulfillment and purpose at work if you know God and incorporate him in your work life. You will find greater fulfillment in your marriage if you know God and you see him at work in your marriage. You'll find greater fulfillment in everything you do if you know God more. And that's the great paradox. That's how we fulfill human desires, is not focusing in on us, but focusing in on knowing him. I want to get back to this idea of God introducing himself as our creator. A lot of time and a lot of effort is spent in trying to understand Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And people get really caught up in taking a position. And you've heard them. You guys know them. The six literal day idea of creation. God, the 6 days in Genesis is six literal days. But some people say that's not really true. Some Christians say, no, there's a gap between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. That God created everything in Genesis 1. And then everything was destroyed, and Genesis 2 starts a new creation. Other people say, well, the days don't represent real days. They represent ages. That day one is an age period of time. And day two is an age, a period of time. Other people say, no, they're real days, but there's a gap in between each one of them. So like here's day one, and there may be a million years, and here's day two, and there's another million years. And other people say, no, it's theistic evolution, that God created at the beginning and it evolved over the years into what it is now. And really some heated arguments about all those ideas. And, you know, can I just say this morning, that's not really what I think God was trying to get us at. I don't care what you believe about creation. I care more what you believe about God. Because what you think about God is going to determine what you think about everything else in life. Christianity isn't 10 steps to spirituality. I do my checklist. Time with God in the morning, devotional, check. Read through my prayer list, check. Went to church on Sunday, check. That's not spirituality. The point of Christianity is about God. It's about knowing Him. The point of the Bible, and I love this book, but the point of this book isn't to know this book. The point of this book is to draw us to God. And sometimes we treat this book like an instruction manual for living, as if it were primarily a positive thinking guide to success in every area of life. Sometimes the Bible's presented as this how-to book, how to be more religious, how to be a better parent, how to manage your money better, how to overcome difficulties, how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be a better parent, how to be more successful, how to get along with people better. Those are all good things, but that's not primarily what this book was designed to do. This book is designed to bring us to Him. Remember when you were a kid and you fell and you got hurt, you scraped your knee, you got hurt somehow, right? What's the first thing you did? You found a first aid manual and began to look through it to learn how to clean and dress a wound properly. It's not what you did, is it? No, you ran to your parent for comfort and love and healing. Why? Because you wanted their love and you wanted their comfort more than anything else. And you knew that if you went to your parent, they would heal your wound. Right? That's what God wants. To be our creator, our parent. And the Bible was written primarily to bring us to Him. And we get so caught up in this idea that Christianity is about working harder, serving harder, rededicating our life, trying harder, reforming our life. That's not it either. I believe we all should serve. But Christianity is not primarily about serving. I don't need another job. I need to know my God. Remember Mary and Martha? Martha was literally serving Jesus. And to Martha, it looked like Mary was doing nothing because she's just sitting at His feet listening to Him talk, listening for His voice. And Martha's like, I am serving Jesus. Jesus, I'm doing all this for you. Tell her to help me. Because it looked to her like Mary wasn't doing anything. I know she could be serving too. What did Jesus say? Mary's chosen the better part. And what she's chosen won't be taken away from her. Because serving isn't primarily why we were saved. We were saved to know Him. So what do you know about God? That's our purpose, knowing Him better. What do you know about God? How big is your God? Creation is not as simple as we try and make it. I don't know how God created. I lean toward the 6 literal days, but some things bother me because creation is more complicated than I think. The more I know about creation, in fact, reality, in my experience, is usually odd. Creation's odd and reality's odd. It's not neat. It's not obvious. It's not what you expect. For instance, once you grasp that all of our planets rotate around the sun, wouldn't you kind of expect that all the planets were made to match, all at equal distances from each other, or all at distances that regularly increased or regularly decreased, or that all the planets were the same size, or else they're all getting bigger in a row, or else they're all getting smaller in a row, or that they all spun the same direction? The truth is much more complicated than that, isn't it? Some are smaller, some are bigger. Some spin this way, some spin that way. Some spin this way. Some have one moon, some have no moons, some have several moons. There's no uniformity. It's much more odd than that. Reality, in fact, is usually something you can't guess, isn't it? And that's one of the reasons I believe in God, because God is not a God I could have guessed. He's always surprising us. He's always stepping outside the box. Just the time you think you got God figured out, he does something that I didn't see that coming. How big is your God? Job says this. God, let me just say this. God is bigger than the universe. God is bigger than this universe. We make God too small. Job says, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation?" This is God talking. "Tell me if you understand. Who marked off the universe's dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? I did. Or what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? I can. Can you loose the cords of Orion? I do. Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead out the bear, Ursa Major, with her cubs? I have been for eons. Do you know the laws of the universe? I wrote them. Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? I already have." How big is your God? Sometimes our problems seem so big, don't they? Sometimes our needs seem so great. Sometimes our obstacles seem so insurmountable. God is bigger than anything that threatens us. Say that aloud with me. God is bigger than anything that threatens me. Ready? God is bigger than anything that threatens me. Say it again. God is bigger than anything that threatens me. We need to know that going into 2019. God is bigger than the universe. God is stronger than his enemies. God is stronger than his enemies. In Job, he says to the people that are mocking and defying God, "Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's, and can your voice thunder like his? Then adorn yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at every proud man and bring him low. Look at every proud man and humble him. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them all in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit that your own right hand can save you." And Paul wrote, "What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Did you know that Jesus is praying for you? Jesus prays for you. He's interceding for us right now. Is that crazy? Jesus is praying for you. You may not have the faith to believe that God will answer your prayers, but do you have the faith that God will answer Jesus' prayers for you? "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger from the sword? No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What does that tell you about all the threats imposed by those who hate Christianity? What does that say? Is God strong enough that his truth will stand even if his enemies try and tear down truth at every turn? We get so caught up in this meaningless debate, all these debates over all these things, and the real issue is to introduce people to a God who loves them. That's our purpose, to glorify Him by knowing Him and enjoying Him forever. God is stronger than His enemies. We don't have to get shook up at the attacks on the church by the world. And God is able to keep our destiny secure. Once again, I go to Job. I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end, He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see Him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Do you know that God is able to keep your destiny secure? When you mess up big time, you think, I have destroyed God's plan for my life. I have ruined God's plan for my life. And the truth is, you don't have that kind of power. He's bigger than you. He is able to keep your destiny secure. God is not going to be thwarted by us. You know that God has no plan B? God is never on plan B because He is never thwarted. His plans are never thwarted. His purposes are never thwarted. God is never on plan B because that would mean something defeated God at least once. How big is your God? So as we look back on 2018 and we see all the times that we saw God's hand in our good times and our bad times, in our struggles and in our victories, we realize that that was His purpose for us at that time, is to know Him in that and to see His hand in that. And as 2019 comes up, we don't know what it's going to hold, but we know that if we see God and we abide in Him, and that every day we seek to enjoy Him, it will transform our lives in 2019. And that's why you're here. That's your purpose. So as you go to work, whatever it is you do, do it well, do it to the Lord, but recognize that seeing God in that is your purpose. Seeing God in what you do is your purpose. Let's pray. Father, my heart this morning is this longing for us all to know You. For us all to see Your hand working. When things are great, that we know it's You that's given us this pleasure and this joy and this fulfillment. And when things are hard, we know that You are right there with us in the midst of it, comforting us and strengthening us. So, Father, I pray for everyone in this room as we start out 2019 in a couple of days, that You will give us the ability to see You and be aware of You, that we abide in You, that we remain in You, that Your presence is tangible in each of our lives, that we bring You glory by enjoying You forever. In Jesus' name I ask.